As we begin reading Mark 1, verse 21 to 45, I'll read the even verses. Apologize. I will read the odd verses if you can respond with the even verses. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach.
The people were amazed at his teaching,
because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law.
Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out,
"What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God."
"Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him."
The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek.
The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him."
News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee.
As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew.
Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever,
and they told Jesus about her.
So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them.
That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed.
The whole town gathered at the door.
And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was.
Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed.
Simon and his companions went to look for him.
And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you."
Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come."
So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons.
A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean."
Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean."
Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured.
Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning.
Tell this to anyone.
But go, show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded
for your cleansing as a testimony to them.
Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you, Linda. We have a lot of challenges for everyone this morning. I have one for you too. I have this challenge for every one of us in this congregation, that for the rest of our life, your life and my life, every year we read through these four Gospels. You'll never be bored. You'll never cease to be amazed at what Jesus did and what Jesus said, but you will also never cease. You'll be fascinated by each of these four Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each of these four gospel writers write with a unique perspective because they want to paint for us a specific unique character and missions of our Lord Jesus. Each of these four gospel writers, look at Matthew. How did Matthew begin? Matthew begins with the genealogy of Jesus because Matthew has this in mind primarily Jewish readers. Right from the beginning, he begins with the genealogy of Jesus. And why did he do that? Because Matthew wants to emphasize to the Jewish countrymen the kingship of Christ. Matthew wants to prove to his Jewish brothers that Jesus Nazareth is indeed the rightful heir to David's throne. And that's why he wanted to uniquely emphasize that he is from the line of Judah and that he is the eternal king in God's kingdom. But look at Luke, how did Luke begin? Luke gives a different perspective. Luke also writes down the genealogy of Jesus, but not in the beginning, not until the third chapter of Luke. Instead, Luke gives us the longest, the most detailed account of Jesus' birth. Now, why would Luke do that? Luke did that because he wants to emphasize the humanity of our Lord Jesus. Because Luke wants to write to his Gentile readers, that he wants the non-Jewish readers to see that Jesus is the Son of Man. Man, that God become man, identifying with us humanity, and yet perfect in his human obedience. God becoming like us, identifying with us humanity, and yet perfect in his moral righteousness. Perfect in his moral perfection. A sin offering, perfect and without blemish, who can take our place as our sin bearer. That was the purpose of Luke. You read John, you will find John stands out even more than all the other three gospel writers. No human genealogy recorded in the book of John, and no record of Jesus' human birth. But how did John begin? John begins with the message of eternity. John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning, the Word is with God. And all things, through him, all things were made. Now, why would John do that? John did that for the purpose of giving us a perspective that this Jesus is the Son of God. John wants to emphasize the deity of Christ, and the theme in John is faith. John is always challenging people, believe in this Christ Jesus and receive salvation, eternal life. Now, what unique perspective do we get from Mark? What did Mark bring us? Mark writes with the Romans in mind, and he wants to emphasize the servanthood of Christ Jesus. The key verse, eventually later on this year, we're going to get into chapter 10, verse 45. If you're ever going to memorize one verse in Mark, memorize Mark 10, 45. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And we read through the book of Mark, we see that Jesus is always moving from place to place, always meeting the physical needs and always meeting the spiritual needs of all kinds of people. Because Mark pictures Jesus as an obedient servant, always on the move, finishing and accomplishing what he has been sent to do. The key word, again, you already see this a number of times in chapter 1, is a word that we translate at once. Sometimes it will translate immediately. Sometimes you will translate the word straightway. And sometimes we say right away. It happens already a few times in chapter 1. We only gone to maybe 20 verses. You will find that we're 41 times in only 16 chapters of Mark. You see, Mark is always interesting, always interested us in focusing our attention that this is a servant of God. He's always moving to do what he was sent to do. Matthew has a Sermon on the Mount. Remember Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7? And Luke will paraphrase that in Luke chapter 6. The only difference is in Matthew said that Jesus spoke and taught that sermon on the hill. But in Luke, it says on a plain, on a level place. We call that the Luke Sermon of the Plain. But you will see that the teaching is similar and even the same. I can imagine that Jesus will be traveling all over the place, pretty much speaking and preaching the same sermon, paraphrased differently, recorded differently by different writers. And John would have his unique teaching too. John would have his I am saying. You remember John always recorded uniquely that Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, I am the door, I am the light of the world, I am the truth, the way, okay, and the life, I am the resurrection." Mark does not record any of those sermons. Mark does not record any of those teachings. Why not? That is because Mark wants to present Jesus more what he did, more than what he says. Mark wants us to see Jesus as the servant of God sent to a sin-sick world, sent to us to serve a suffering humanity. And that is why there's no record of Jesus' genealogy. There's no record of Jesus' birth, because those detailed informations are not necessary for a servant. Instead, the servanthood of Christ is seen not in what he says, but in what he does. And when we come to the second half of chapter 1, we will see exactly that. The servant of God at work. And it is all in a day's work too. See, what Jesus did between verse 21 to verse 39 is within a 24-hour period. We can tell a lot about a man by what he does in a 24-hour period. And what kind of a man do we see in this 24-hour day, in this 24-hour period? This 24-hour period begins in the middle of the Sabbath. Look at verse 21. Shall we please? Let's read that together again. Shall we please together? They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue. We stop there, you see. See, before this 24 hours are over, we will see again Jesus doing the same thing. We will see that Jesus teaching. Jesus teaching with a new authority. Before this 24 hours is over, we will see Jesus confronting spirits, confronting spirit with a new authority and power. We will also see that Jesus healed with unmatched compassion. We will also see that Jesus prayed with unmatched discipline. And it is all in a day's work. Look at verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. Now, at this point of time, the temple was still in Jerusalem. Now, why would there be synagogues? There were synagogues in Nazareth. We find that out in Luke chapter 4. There were synagogues in Capernaum. We see it here. You see, the development of Jewish synagogues began during the exile in Babylon. You see, at that time, the first temple was destroyed. And in order to gather together for worship, to gather for prayer, for gather to teach, for teaching and for reading the Torah and the prophets, the Jews began meeting in synagogues quite a few hundred years before Jesus' time. And according to rabbinic laws, even today they practice it. Anywhere you have 10 Jewish men, that's enough to establish a synagogue. And no sacrifices can be made in the synagogues, because it has to be done in the temple, because it has to be done by the Levitical priests. But Jewish people read the Torah, they read the prophets, and they pray and they worship in the synagogues. And the worship was led by not by Levites, not by priests, but by lay leaders and by rabbis. And the synagogue was supervised by a board of elders. And this board of elders was led by a ruler. You will find this description in the Gospels. And teachers of the law, we call them rabbis, and they are still with us. Okay, they would travel from synagogue to synagogues. And these traveling rabbis, they would be honored, they would be highly respected, and they would be invited to come up and to read from the Torah. The Torah is the five books of Moses, the first five books. And they will be invited to read from the prophets. And that is why Jesus, when we remember a few weeks ago, about a month ago, we read from the fourth chapter of Luke, Jesus went into the synagogue in Nazareth. He opened the book of Isaiah 61, and he read from the passage. That is why Jesus was invited, because he was considered a rabbi. And here is Mark. Mark is telling us that on the Sabbath day in Capernaum, Jesus went into the synagogue there and he began to teach. And what an amazing reaction from the listeners. Look at verse 22, please. Let's read that together. Shall we please? The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Go down a little bit to verse 27 with me. Let's read that, please. 27, shall we? The people were all amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority. We stop there. You see, Jesus taught with authority that the Jewish listeners were not used to. They used to listen to a lot of other rabbis. They used to listen to a lot of other teachers and expositors of the law and the prophets. And all the other rabbis do and teach is they all argue about trivial meaning and trivial applications of the commandments. For example, the most important commandment for a Jewish person for their daily life is the Sabbath. The law says, thou shalt keep the Sabbath. Thou shalt rest, thou shalt not walk, or work. And they would consider, now is traveling work? Definitely it expended energy. Would traveling be a violation of this law, thou shalt keep the Sabbath? Okay, and some rabbis would explain and teach, no, you cannot travel any more than half a mile from your home. Half a mile is a limit. Anything beyond half a mile or whatever distance would be considered working and violation of the Sabbath. But then another rabbi would come and they would argue, oh, you are too liberal. Half a mile is too far a distance. Half a mile, that is definitely work. You can only allow 100 yards because there's an outhouse behind the home and that's about 100 yards. That's about the distance you can go. And on, people would come up and argue about what does it mean by thou shalt keep the Sabbath. And some very intelligent and very clever rabbis would come up and teach, ah, okay, I tell you what. If you really have to travel a couple of miles, you know, or maybe 20 miles, you want to go down to Chinatown for a little good lunch today, I can teach you a way. There is some way you can get around it. Yes, it is too far, but here's what you do. The day before Sabbath, you take 100 or 200 items of yours that belongs to you, and every yard from your house, you place a little item of yours. And then you go another 100 yards, you place a second item of yours. And then you place another, you go another 100 yards, you place a third, and then on and on and on and on until wherever you want to go on the Sabbath day. And then the Sabbath comes. And all you have to do is you just go from your house to a first item of yours, to the second item of yours, because from then on, every step you take, you are not traveling more than 100 yards from your home. Because each of your personal items represent your home, represent your abode, your where place that you reside. You're always home. And you have not violated the Sabbath. People are used to this kind of teaching. It mentions about the gospel too. Because another passage in the gospel, Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees. The first commandment about the fifth commandment, that is, about how we relate to the human beings, saying, the fifth commandment is, thou shalt honor your father and your mother. And then the Jewish people, and the Hebrews, the teachers of the law at that time, they say, now, if you set aside $100 a month to take care of your parents, but you are very righteous, you spend that $100 in offering in the temple, and the Pharisee was teaching, your obligation to your parents are fulfilled. Because the $100 that you set aside for your parents have been offered to God. Therefore, you do not need to spend another $100 to keep your obligation to your parents. Remember the passage? Oh, Jesus was so angry with them. Jesus rebuked them. What is a violation of the law? The spirit of the law is that you love, you honor, you care for your parents. Not to get away from it. Not to go around and find a little crack that you can get through the law. And the people are used to that. And no wonder they were bored when they listened to the rabbi, when they listened to the teaching, you see. Clever, very clever. Every 100 yards you plant a little item of yours and you say you're always home. Very, very brilliant reasoning, very brilliant way to get around the law. But where's the spirituality? Where is the reality of you honoring God and obeying God? The teaching that the rabbis had when they were used to were empty and void. They were empty and void of any real spiritual substance, any relevance to their spiritual needs. And all that the teachers of the law and the rabbis and the Pharisees, all they were arguing about is how to get around these regulations. They were empty and meaningless. And here comes Jesus, breaking into the open. And he taught what blessings of life really is all about. And he taught, blessed are the poor in spirit. And he taught, blessed are those that are humble before God. And here comes Jesus. Blessed are those who are sorrowful for their sins. Blessed are those who mourn. They are sorrowful for their sins. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And he comes, teaching. Blessed are those who are meek and merciful. And here comes Jesus, teaching, saying, now you used to hear. He's talking about all those rabbi rabbinic teaching that they were used to listening. But I tell you, Jesus would say, you used to hear that an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, love your enemy. You used to hear that divorce is okay as long, make sure you give a certificate to your wife that you're divorcing. Make sure there's a piece of paper proving that you guys are divorced. But then Jesus said, but I tell you, marriage is not a game you play with. Marriage is not something you can take it or leave it. Just give a piece of paper and break it. And no wonder the listeners were amazed. See, Mark did not tell us what exactly Jesus taught. I am sure he must have repeated the same message on the mount, the sermon Jesus did, Sermon on the Mount, or a sermon on the plain. Jesus might have spoken that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I'm sure Jesus might have said, I am the good shepherd, that I am the light of the world, I am the door. See, like a new wind blowing through the synagogues, driving away all the stale air. I mean, just like the spring rain falling on parched soul of the listeners, reviving the parchedness of their life. Like a shaft of brilliant light shining, cutting through the darkness, revealing the glorious truth that only God can bring. Jesus taught with authority. See, no one who ever read the Word of God can deny the wonder of His Word. That's why I can say, I can challenge you. You will never find boring. You will never cease to be amazed at the wonder. Not only at what Jesus said and not only what Jesus did, but the wonder of how He was presented differently by four different gospel writers. That's the first thing that Jesus did in this 24-hour period. At the end of these 24 hours, Jesus will be doing the same thing. Let's look at verse 38. Let's read that together. Shall we please? Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also, preaching and teaching the truth of God. You cannot find a more worthwhile things to pursue in life. Now, what did Jesus do next, other than teaching? Jesus confronted demons with power. Let's read verse 23 to 25. Shall we please, verse 23. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by the evil spirit cried out, what do you want with us? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. I dare say that every one of us have fear of spirits. We have different words for it, both of them. We may call them ghosts, we may call them spirits. They strike terror in all of us. That is because they do works of darkness, they do works of evil, at least we think. And they are power of darkness that we cannot overcome. Even the bravest of us, even when we are thoroughly convinced that greater is the Holy Spirit that is in us than the spirit that is in the world. Years and years ago, I don't know how many of you, I used to tell these stories, but I haven't told it for a long time. I think most of you don't know this. Years and years ago, while I was still a student in seminary, I used to live and work in a funeral home in Skokie. And there are times when I have to work in the basement. And you all know what in the basement of a funeral home, right? I use your imagination. I thought I had no fear. Because one of my favorite hymns is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Right? I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Right? But then there are times when I'm down in the basement and all of a sudden, you know, there are a lot of refrigerators in the basement. And you know, refrigerators have something called a compressor. And you know what a compressor does, right? All of a sudden, a compressor would kick in and I would jump out of my pants from fright. I'll take you there. It's in Skokie. It's on Grosse Pointe Road. Field trip. You see, dark forces are not something that we tangle with. Even though we are so convicted that greater is the spirit that is in me, in us, than the spirit that is in the world. But here comes Jesus of Nazareth. In all his humanity, just like you and I, he had no fear because he is Lord. He is Lord not only of this visible world, but he is also the Lord of the invisible world of demons and spirits. And demons and spirits certainly recognize who Jesus is. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But then Jesus rebuked the demons and commanded the demons to be silent and to leave. Jesus does not need participation of Satan to win men's soul. Jesus does not need the demons to go out and advertise for him. This demon is reluctant to leave, we can tell, because he, in his desperate attempt to keep his possession, he was throwing the man in convulsion. And he would only leave with a loud protest. But when the demon is confronted by Jesus' authority and power, he must concede defeat, and he had to leave. Because this demon is overwhelmed by infinitely superior power. Dear people, the truth is eternal. The only name that Satan fears, the only name that demons fear, is the name of Jesus. And it is well that we remember this. We can use the same authority and we can use the same power in the name of Jesus to rebuke Satan and his demons and to demand victory from them and to claim our victory over them. For our victory is in Christ, and our power and authority is from the Lord Jesus. And again, the reaction of the people is the same as they witness the power of the Lord being demonstrated. It was sensational. Let's read verses 27 to 28. You see verse 27 and 28, shall we please? The people were all amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. You see, when Mark used the word quickly, he's not talking about days. He's talking about hours. Because we read in verse 32 to 33, let's turn our attention to verse 32. Within hours, what happened? Shall we please? That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. You see, the news was spreading like wildfire. Never before was heard such teaching. Never before was seen such power. But that's not all Jesus did within that 24 hours. Jesus heals, and he healed with unmatched compassion. Beginning in verses 29 to 31, Jesus healed the mother-in-law of Peter. See, Jesus had taught in the synagogue and confronted the demons that morning. And by the time he went to Peter's house, there must be some travel, and brought healing to Peter's mother-in-law, that would have been in the late afternoon already. Anyone who has been working so hard would be ready to call it a day. You ever see me around 1:30 in every Sunday afternoon? I'll be sitting in the lunch area. There are times when I'm so tired that I cannot even eat. At the end of that day, you can imagine how exhausted and how drained Jesus was. I would have ready to call it a day, but not God's servant. See, that evening after sunset, people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed them. All those with various diseases. You see, today's Capernaum is just a little small village with a few houses here and there. But not in Jesus' days. In Jesus' time, Capernaum was the biggest city, biggest town around the Lake of Galilee. And all the sick and all the demons were brought to the door. There will be no rest for the servant of God. You see, Mark particularly emphasized that Jesus forbid the demon to speak. Jesus specifically would not allow the demon to reveal Jesus' identity. Now, why would Jesus do that? Jesus would do that again and again. There's a reason for it. We call that the messianic secret. There's a term, messianic secret. Jesus did all the work of a healer. Jesus did all the spectacular driving out demons out of compassion. Compassion for those who are tormented by sickness and illness. Compassion for those that are tormented by demon control. And Jesus did not want dramatic spectacles. Jesus did not want sensation. Jesus specifically and deliberately wanted to play down the spectacular. And again, Jesus would say, tell no one. Don't spread the word. Let it be quiet. Let it be. Don't go around advertising for me. Why? Because Jesus has no need to win men's soul by the spectacular. Jesus did not want people to follow him simply because there's a circus of miracles to see. Jesus did not want people to follow him simply because there are fish to eat and bread to eat. Jesus did not want Jews to see him as a national revolutionary hero. Jesus did not want the Jews to see him as a political leader that will lead the Jews to drive out the Romans and bring about the insurrection. People's reaction would only lead to destruction. People's reaction would only lead to undesirable problems with the Jewish people and with the Roman government. But the more Jesus commanded people to be silent, see, the more people spread the word. We see in verse 45, it was recorded Jesus could no longer come into town. Jesus can no longer minister in the city because the crowd was following him. And Jesus looked at the crowd and worried. You ever notice that every preacher look at how small a crowd and worry? Jesus, I always say, is the only preacher who look at how large the crowd and worry. Because Jesus didn't want people to follow him without knowing the cause. Jesus did not want people to follow him without willing to pay the cost. And here's the test. How we can judge, how we can tell the difference between a false teacher and a true teacher, or a false healer and a true healer. Today there are healers all over the place. Televisions, I get letters from in the mail too. Such and such is coming to Chicago and is going to have a crusade of healing, advertising the healing ministry. They advertise not out of compassion, they advertise out of greed, out of financial gain. Because the bigger the crowd that comes out, the greater, the bigger the pot that he's going to receive. See, the more spectacular the claim that he has, the bigger his income. But we see nothing like that in Jesus. Jesus is the only healer I know who tells those that are healed to be quiet. Jesus has no need for the crowd to booster his ego. Jesus has no need for a crowd to booster his income. Jesus heals out of compassion. Jesus drives out demons out of compassion. And Jesus' compassion was even more evident when we turn to verses 40 to 45. Here, Mark tells us how Jesus healed a man with leprosy. And in this incident, we can see that Jesus' compassion is unmatched by anyone. See, few diseases is as repugnant and repulsive as leprosy. In Jesus' time and culture, there's nothing more feared than leprosy. People feared because it was highly contagious. People feared because of the devastation it brings to the life of a person who has leprosy. It brings hideous disfigurement. It brings terrible ulceration of the skin and the flesh. It literally eats it away. But worst of all is the rejection, is the isolation, not only from society, but from family, loved ones of these people inflicted with leprosy. A leper is totally isolated from any forms of human contact and any forms of human love and emotions. A leper lives in total sense of worthless desperation and rejection. In those days, carrying leprosy is worse than carrying a death sentence. And such a man came to Jesus in verse 40 and 41. 41, John Mark says, out of compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. And there are no surgical gloves in those days. Jewish people at that time won't even be near a leper within 100 yards, let alone touching the man. Jesus had the power to heal the man simply by his word. Jesus didn't have to touch him. But Jesus touched him for the purpose of saying to him and to us all that you are not repulsive to me. Jesus saying to him that you are not untouchable to me. See, by touching him, Jesus communicated to him and to us with the most powerful, the most personal way that there is no ugliness that God's mercy and compassion cannot touch. That's what Jesus is saying to us by what he did. All day long and all night long, Jesus taught, Jesus confronted demons, Jesus heals. Can you imagine how draining that must be? Right? I mean, if you had just gone through a day like that, the next morning, what time would you get up? And yet, what do we see in verse 35? We see Jesus pray with discipline. Let's read that in verse 35. Shall we please? Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus prayed with discipline. Praying with discipline means that when you have every reason not to pray, it is when you need to pray the most. When you have all the reason to stay in bed or pull the blanket over your head. See, after such a blistering day, such a demand of his attention, such demand of his time, such demand of his energy and his heart, it was probably 1 or 2 in the morning when the last patient left the house. And here it is, very early in the morning while it was still dark. I imagine it must have been 5 in the morning. Jesus got up and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Can you imagine how cold it was? You see, in a desert place, the only reason why the desert is so hot is because of the sun. And as soon as the sun went down in the desert place, it is cold. Can you imagine how tired Jesus must have been? But Jesus decided to be connected with the Father, overcomes his desire for a few hours of sleep and rest. See, Jesus' connection with the Father is the source of his wisdom, the source of his power, is the source of his strength and compassion. The more he was drained, the more he needed to be replenished. You ever wonder, how could Jesus be so bold and so powerful in his life and his work? How could Jesus be so tirelessly in his patience and love and kindness and compassion? How can he be so inexhaustible in the way he relates to people? And here's the secret. It is in his communion with the Father in prayer, constantly without disruption. You see, people, what do we see in this one day in the life of Jesus? He's always on the go, right? He was never hurried like you and I. He's never behind. He never had to rush here and rush there. Because, oh no, I'm 30 minutes behind, I gotta pick up somebody. He's always on the go, not because he was late, but because he has a clear sense of mission. Look at verse 38. Shall we read that together, verse 38? Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." That is why I have come. Remember verse 45, chapter 10? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, Jesus knew exactly why he lived each day. Do we know exactly why we live each day? We got up in the morning so reluctantly, and the only thing we have to complain is, oh man, gotta go to school, oh man, I gotta go to work, oh, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. Do we know exactly why we live each day? You know, we often say that we like to be like Christ. We always have New Year resolution to be more like Christ. To be more like Christ is not an abstract idea. It's not an abstract ideal either. Is the most relevant, most applicable reminder of us each daily. How can we live each day of our life fruitfully and productively? How can we live in such a way that at the end of the day, we can find ourselves saying to God, "Thank you for the gift of this day you have given me. I haven't wasted your gift. Thank you for this gift of this day. I haven't returned it to where it came from." You know how we can do that? Regardless of how old and how young we are today, and regardless of how long or how short our remaining days on earth is, can we live each day as fruitfully, meaningfully, purposefully as this one day in the life of our Lord? See, if we are serious about imitating Christ, see, what we do each day ought to be imitation of what Christ did in his day. We are men. We are charged with teaching our family, our children. We are charged with the teaching responsibility in the community of God's people. What would it take to be like Christ, teaching like he with authority? What would it take? All of us, we are called to live each day in triumph over Satan and his temptation. All of us, we are called to live each day serving each other with compassion. And when we are exhausted, and when we are drained out, when we have no more energy left, when we have no more patience and loving kindness and compassion left, when we have no more idea about what is best, no more left, what do we do? Where do we go to for a refill? What did the Lord Jesus teach us? Coming in connection with God the Father, coming in connection with God the Son and His Spirit, so that we may be replenished, so that we may be refilled. How often is our tank running empty? How often are we running our spiritual life on vapor? See, isn't it true that all the more we need to come where our passion, where our compassion, where our love, where our authority comes from, where our power for living comes from? From connection with the Father, with the Son, with the Spirit. See, dear people, a very short 24 hours, it says a lot about a man. It says a lot about how we live also, how we can live fruitfully and productively. The sense of mission, dear people, live each day knowing why you are placed on this corner of the earth, this particular day. Let's all stand. We're going to sing a song together and respond, please.
接下来我们是读经，今天我们读经是在马可福音第一章21-45节。接下来是我们读经的时间，我们今天会读经在马可福音第1章21-45节。那是在我们圣经新译本的1508页，在我们新译本的圣经1508页左手那边，是左手那边。咁一共係有成25节嘅经文，我哋係揾到之后，我哋係会用启应方式嚟读。找到以后，我们会用启应的方式来念。台上会先念，单数节，请会众用双数节来回应。咁我哋係单数节起读，请会众双数节回应。马可福音第1章第25节咁样讲到，他们都21节，唔好意思啊，
他们到了加百农，
耶稣随即在安息日进入会堂教导人。
就在那时，会堂里有一个被污灵附着的人，喊叫起来。
耶稣斥责他说：住口，从他身上出来。乌灵使那人抽风，大声喊叫，就从他身上出来。
众人都很惊讶，于
是
彼此
对
问
说：
这
是怎
么
一
回
事？
是
个
有
权
能
的身道来
呢？
他
吩咐
乌
灵，乌
灵
服
从
了
他。
他们一出会堂，就往雅各、约翰和西门和安德烈的家里去。耶稣走到他面前，拉着他的手，扶他起来，热就退了，他就服侍他们。全城的人都聚集在门口。次
日清晨，
天
云
又
亮，
耶
稣
起
来
出来，来到荒野的地方，在那里祷告。他们找到了，就对他说：大家都在我里地。
於
是他走
遍
加
利
利
全
地，在他們的會堂裏傳道，並且趕鬼。耶穌動了憐憫的心，就伸手摸他說：我肯，你潔淨了吧。
耶穌
打發那人
離
開
以
後，以前
严
厉
地
吩
咐
他，
这照着摩西所规定的，为你更定献祭，好向大家作证。
但那人出来竟任意传讲，就把这事传开了，以致耶稣不能再公开进城，只好留在外边荒野的地方。然而还是有人从各处到他那里去。
Thank you, Edmund. Thank you, Wicca. Thanks. 有一个挑战是给教会每一个人。
有一个挑战是给教会的每一位。
就是我们每一个人，在我们余下的人生里面。
就是我们每一个人在我们余下的人生里面，
我们每一年都将四福音读一次。
我们每一年都把四福音读一遍。
我向大家保证，你一定会觉得闷。
牧师向大家保证，你一定不会觉得闷。
你一定会觉得是稀奇。
你一定会觉得非常稀奇。
因为你会惊奇，不单止耶稣所讲的说话同埋所做的。
不单是耶稣所做的事情或者他所说的话，
你都会很惊奇，很欣赏到每一个写福音的人。
你也会非常的惊奇，在每一个福音书的作者，
他们都有他们独特的关注，
他都有他自己独特对耶稣事迹的一个关注，
让你从不同的角度看到基督这个这么奇这么妙的一个人生，
让我们从不同的角度看到基督耶稣一个奇妙的人生。
譬如你看马太福音，
比如说我们看马太福音，
马太写福音的时候是首先写给犹太人的。
马太写福音开始的时候是写给犹太人的。
马太一开始写的时候呢，就一段讲到耶稣的家谱。
马太一开始在福音书就先叙述了耶稣的家谱。
应该马太会这样写，
为什么马太会这样子写呢？
是因为马太让我们看到关注得到耶稣基督这个是君王。
因为马太希望我们关注得到耶稣基督是君王，
向犹太人说耶稣就是正正式式成立即是承继大卫王位的君王。
他向犹太人叙述说耶稣基督正正就是继承大卫王位的一个君王，
他更是神的天国里面的永恒的君王，
他更是神的国里面永恒的一个君王。
我们看路加福音呢有不同的，
当我们看路加福音的时候又有不一样的东西。
路加都有写耶稣的家谱，
路加也有提到耶稣的家谱，
但系要等到第三章先至写。
但是 直到第三章他才提到。
而路加福音第一、第二章啊，
而路加的第一、二章
有最详细嘅记载到耶稣基督嘅降生。
是非常详细的记载了耶稣基督的 降生。
那点解路加会咁样写法？
为什么路加会有这样子的写法呢？
系因为路加要我哋关注到耶稣基督嘅人性。
因为路加希望我们关注到耶稣基督的人性。
路加写福音是首先给那些外邦人，不是犹太人看的。
因为路加福音福音所写给的是外邦人作为对象。
是因为路加要那些希腊人外邦人看到耶稣是人子 Son of Man， 人的子。
因为路加希望那些希腊人和外邦人看到的是耶稣的人子，作为人子的身份。
神降临到人间与我们这个人性认同。
神降临到人间与我们这个人的一个身份来认同。
但是仍然活出一个完完全全的顺服神的一个人。
但是依然他是一个完完全全顺服神的人。
人降临到人间与我们人类认同。
神降临到人间与我们人认同，
但是完完全全的过到这个人的道德的生活。
但是完全的过一个完全的人的道德的生活，
完全的没瑕疵的一个罪的献祭。
是一个完全没有瑕疵的一个罪的献祭，
能够承担起我们的罪，
能够替我们承担我们的罪。
我们看约翰福音啊，
我们再看约翰福音，
是四福音书里面最独特的。
是四福音里面最独特的一本书。
约翰没记载到耶稣的家谱。
约翰完全没有记载耶稣的家谱。
亦都没记载到耶稣的降生。
也没有记载到耶稣的降生。
但一开始他开始到耶稣基督的永恒。
但是一开始约翰就看到了耶稣基督的永恒。
太初有道。
太初有道。
道与神同在。
道与神同在。
道就是神。
道就是神。
这道太初与神同在。
这道太初与神同在。
万物都是藉着他做的。
万物都是藉着他所做的。
凡被造的。
凡被造的。
没有一样不是藉着他做的。
没有一样不是藉着他做的。
约翰应该会这样写法。
约翰为什么会这样写呢？
因为他要我们关注到耶稣基督的神性。
因为他要我们关注到耶稣基督的神性。
他是神的儿子。
他是神的儿子。
他的中心思想是要我们相信。
他的中心思想是要我们相信。
凡信他的就是接待他名的人。
凡相信耶稣接待他名的人。
他就赐他们权柄作神的儿女。
耶稣就会赐他们权柄作为神的儿女。
但我们看到马可了。
到我们再看马可福音，
马可有什么独特的要我们关注到？
马可福音里有什么独特的地方让我们关注呢？
马可写的是首先写给罗马人看的。
马可他所写的对象是罗马人。
他要我们关注到耶稣基督的服侍人的仆人。
他要我们关注的是耶稣基督作为一个仆人去服侍人。
例如我们在马福音里面有这么多章节，你只能够背到一节。
马可福音里面有这么多章节，我们只需要背一节。
我要要求大家，要大家记得第十章第四十五节。
那牧师就希望大家能记住第十章第四十五节。
你听过好多次了。
你可能听过很多次了。
你可以背到的了。人子来。
人子来。
不是要受人服侍。
不是要受人服侍。
乃是要服侍人。
乃是要服侍人。
并且将生命献上。
并且要把生命献上，
作多人的赎祭，
做多人的赎祭。
我们看到马可福音就是主要这个思想，一个服侍人的神的仆人。
马可福音的主旨就是要显露耶稣基督是服侍人的一个人。
耶稣不停的从这处地方走去另一个地方。
耶稣在马可里面不断的被叙述从这个地方走到那个地方，
是为了要服侍好多好多不同的人，
就是为了要服侍很多很多不一样的人。
不单止他们这个身躯的需要，
不单只是他们身体上的需要，
更重要的是在灵命的生命里面的需要，
更重要的是对他们生命灵命的一个侍奉。
在马福音我们看到耶稣基督是一个完全服顺服神的一个仆人。
我们在马可福音看到的是耶稣是一个完全顺服神的一个仆人，
不停不断的工作，
他不停不断的工作
去完成差派他去做的任务，
去完成神差派他去做的工作。
有一个字很独特的跳出来的，
有一个字在马可福音里很独特，
我们在第一章已经见过几次了，
我们在第一章已经看过好几次了，
随即
随机，
即是说即刻跟着就去做第二样东西，即刻就去做第二样，
意思就是说不断的完成一件事以后马上又去做另外一件事。
你看第十二节那里面有个随即的，
我们看第十二节那里就有一个随机，
同你看二十九节了，他一出即是说一出来就即刻要做第二样东西了，
到二十九节这里又说了他一出哪里又马上要去干哪另外一件事情，
四十一次这么多啊，
一共这个词出现了四十一次。
大家都好知道个登山宝训。
大家都很熟悉登山宝训。
系马太在第五六七呢三章里边讲到耶稣，记载耶稣第一篇嘅讲道。
是马太福音里面第七、第八章记载到耶稣基督的第一次讲道。
你去到路加福音第六章。
我们去到路加福音第六章。
路加会总括性嘅再讲多一次。
路加就很总括很概括性的又讲叙述了一次，
但是路加说那个不是在山上面教的，是在平地那处教的，所以我们叫它做 Sermon of the Plain， 在平地里面的补训，
但是路加所记载的当时的训导是在平原里面而不是在山上，
我相信耶稣从这一处走去那处讲很多讲道，很多道理里面的内容都是一样的。
牧师相信当时耶稣是从这个地方又去到另外一个地方，但是去到每个地方都是给我们讲同样的一个训导。
约翰又写了很多耶稣独特的教导，
约翰同样继续叙述了很多耶稣基督独特的一个讲道，
约翰有很多叫做 I am saying 我是我是我是的教导，
约翰里面有很多是我是我是的一些训导，
其他马太马可同埋那路加冇写嘅，冇记载。
而其他三本福音书是没有这样子的记载的。
只系耶稣，只系约翰话我是好牧人。
约翰记载耶稣说我是好牧人。
我是门，
我是门。
我是世上的光，
我是世上的光。
我是道路，我是真理，我是生命。
我是道路，我是真理，我是生命。
我是复活，约翰话复活在我，我是复活。
耶稣也同样说我是复活，复活在我。
马可冇记载到任何一句耶稣呢啲嘅讲道信息。
马可没有在他的福音书里面记载到任何一些这样子的讲道。
点解马可唔写啊？
为什么马可不提这些讲道呢？
系因为马可要我哋注重到耶稣所做嘅多过我哋听到耶稣所讲嘅。
因为马可希望我们注重在耶稣所做的，而不是比耶稣所讲的要多。
马可要我哋睇到耶稣基督进入到呢个人世间咁罪恶嘅一个地方。
马可希望我们注目到耶稣基督进入到罪恶的人间，
是为了来服侍我们在苦难当中的人，
是为了要服侍我们这些在苦难当中的人，
所以没记载了耶稣的家谱，
所以他没有记载耶稣的家谱，
没记载了耶稣的降生，
他没有记载耶稣的降生，
因为这些这样的细节做仆人的不需要讲，
因为这些细节对于一个仆人来说不需要提，
相反的基督这个仆人要我们看到不是从他所讲的看到，也从他们所做的看到，
相反的在福音书里面记载了很多耶稣作为仆人所做的事情，
我们看到这个下一半的第一章下一半
我们看到第一章的下半段，
我们看到神的仆人的工作，
我们看到了这个神的仆人的工作，
一日之劳都是二十四小时之内所做的，
这些都是在一天之内耶稣所做的事情，
一个人二十四小时之内所做的事情，你看得到的话你可以很深的认识到这个人的身，
如果一天二十四小时你看到这个人所做的事情，你可以很深入的认识到这个人。
那这一日呢是做一个安息日开始的，
这一天是从一个安息日开始，
安息日的早上之后就开始，你看看第二十一节呢，
我们看第二十一节，
我们一起来读第二十一节，
我们请一起读，
请大家一起，他们到了加百农，耶稣随即在安息日进入会堂，这个是我们会看到这四十四小时之内
我们可以看到在二十四小时之内
耶稣做什么，
耶稣做了什么，
耶稣教导讲道，
耶稣教导讲道，
有新的权柄来讲道教导
用一个新的权柄来教导，
而且耶稣赶鬼，
而且耶稣赶鬼，
亲眼的面对鬼灵而赶他出去，
亲眼的面对鬼灵把他赶走，
用新的权能权柄来赶他们，
用新的全能权柄来驱赶这些恶鬼，
有还有我们看到耶稣用 没人能够比得上的慈怜怜悯去医治人的病。
同时我们也看到耶稣用没有人能够比较的一个慈怜来治疗人的疾病。
更比我们看到耶稣用没人能够比得上的纪律祈祷，
也同样让我们看到耶稣用无人能比的一个纪律来进行祷告，
都是二十四小时之内所做的一日之劳，
这些都是在二十四小时之内完成的。
你看二十一节耶稣进入会堂做什么？教导人。
二十一节提到耶稣进入会堂教导人。
当时什么叫做会堂呢？
当时什么是会堂呢？
当时还有圣殿在耶路撒冷的。
当时圣殿还在耶路撒冷。
那为什么在加百农啊？我们第四章路加福音看到在拿撒勒都有会堂，为什么会有会堂啊？
那我们看到为什么在拿撒勒都会有会堂呢？
这些会堂啊，是在巴比伦被掳的时候已经开始的了。
这些会堂是在犹太人在巴比伦被掳的时候已经开始了。
因为被掳去巴比伦，第一个圣殿被烧毁被拆毁嘛。
因为在巴比伦时代，犹太人被掳，然后圣殿被烧毁。
咁啲犹太人去边度处聚集啊？去边处敬拜？
那犹太人就没有地方去敬拜。
去边度处祈祷？向边度处听摩西五经同埋先知书嘅宣讲啊？
他们没有地方可以去祷告和听讲道，
他们就开始这些会堂的开始，
然后他们就开始建立这些会堂。
那些拉比啊，那些文士啊，那些经学家话，
那些拉比那些文士就在会堂里教导。
任何一个地方有十个成人的男人啊，就可以在那里开一个 synagogue， 开一个会堂。
他们教导说，只要有任何地方只要有十个成年的男性聚会，他就可以在那里建立一个会堂。
那里没限制。
在那个地方不能献祭，
因为献祭一定要在耶路撒冷的圣殿那些祭司做的献祭。
因为献祭必须在耶路撒冷的圣殿那里由祭司去完成。
但是这些圣殿在这些会堂里面呢，他们会读摩西五经读先知书。
但是在这些会堂里面，他们可以阅读摩西五经和先知书。
他们祈祷，他们敬拜，他们听圣经旧约圣经的教导。
他们祈祷，他们敬拜，他们去听旧约圣经的一些教训。
不是由祭司主领的，
这些不是由祭司去领导，
有那些平常的民众主领，和那些拉比啊，那些教经学家主领，
通常都是由拉比或者一些普通的民众就能够去带领。
每一日的工作由边一个组织，由边个，由那些会堂管会堂的人的主领啊。
每一天由那些管理会堂的人去组织这样子的敬拜。
那些经学家，即是犹太人的牧师拉比啊，会从一个会堂走去另一个会堂。
那个时候犹太人的那些拉比，就是那些经学家，会从一个会堂跑到另外一个会堂去教导人，
好受民众的尊重的。
当时非常这些人都很受民众的一个尊敬。
如果有一个经学家拉比来到这个会堂呢，会请他上来读圣经的，读摩西五经，读啲先知书的。
如果有一个拉比去到其中一个会堂，他就会被请到台上去读摩西五经。
所以记得一个月前来到路加福音第四章，耶稣去到拿撒勒嗰个会堂。
所以在路加福音第五章，耶稣去到一个拿撒勒的会堂里面。
耶稣被公认佢一个拉比，一个经学家，所以被邀请佢打开以赛亚书六十一章喺处宣读啊。
所以耶稣当时就被作为拉比请到台上去阅读以赛亚书。
而家马可继续嘅话，耶稣进入到加百农嘅会堂。
马可在这里继续到耶稣在加伯隆的会堂。
你睇下听嘅人点样反应啊？惊愕嘅反应。
大家那些听的人都是一个惊愕的反应。
一齐嚟到第二十二节同埋二十七节。
我们一起来读二十二节和二十七节。
大家睇到吗？我哋一齐二十二节。大家对他的教训都很惊奇，因为他教导他们像一个有权柄的人，不像经学家。睇二十七节啊，睇到吗？
二十七节。
大家一齐。众人都很惊讶，于是彼此对民说：这是怎么一回事？一个权能的新道理啊！我哋读到呢一处，耶稣教导用新嘅权柄嚟教导。
耶稣使用一个新的权柄来教导。
犹太人听嚟从来冇听过咁样嘅咁权柄嘅教导。
犹太人从来没有听过这么有权柄的一个教导。
佢哋听惯乜嘢？
他们所听惯了是什么？
他们听惯那些拉比、那些犹太的牧师、经学家，成日去拗颈、拗颈、拗乜嘢颈啊？
他们所经常听到的是那些犹太人的拉比在那里争论。
拗颈 摩西律法里面那些疏疏碎碎那些细细节节那些不肯洗的东西来咬。
那些拉比都是在争论一些摩西五经里面鸡毛蒜皮的东西。
譬如犹太人最看重的是安息日。
比如说犹太人最看重的是安息日，
一定要守安息日，安息日一定什么都不做得，不动得，不行得，不起身都不得。
他们教导拉比教导的是安息日什么都不能做，甚至你不能走路，你不能站起来。
那就拗了，什么叫做在安息日工作，什么做得，什么不做得。
然后他们就在这个问题上面争论，到底安息日能够做什么，不能做什么。
如果我耕田的外面的我块田，我家行去个田地的树，是不是工作的。
然后如果我家里是农作的，如果我从家里走到那块田里面走的这段路算不算工作呢？
如果我不出得门口的，我怎样貌似在后面，我行几远才是工作，我要行几远。
然后如果我家的洗手间在屋后面，我能不能出门上洗手间呢？
咬就咬这样，教就教这些。
他们教导就是这些，争论的就是这些。
有些拉比说你行半里都得，
有些拉比教导说你可以走半里路。
另外一个拉比来说，这些很新派，半里这么远都可以得的。
然后另外一个拉比来到会堂就教导说，那些泰国新派教导了，半里路太远了。
哦，我们要好紧守圣经的教导，100 yards 了，几十几百尺了。
他说我们要谨守圣经，我们只能走100码左右。
但是人说我要行远一点，我要 去见下 女朋友，去见下父母，我要行100码，我怎样去成2米路那么远。
但是有些人就可能会说，我要去见我的父母亲朋，可能走路要走2英里的路。
有些拉比就好聪明，
有些拉比就非常聪明。
他说我们可以这样来应用圣经，应用律法。
我们可以用一些变通的方法来应用圣经。
如果你安息日一定要行2米路的呢？
如果你安息日一定要走2英里路的话，
但是最保守的要求就是只能够走100米 100 yards。
但是如果最保守的教法说你只能走100码的话，
你安息日之前那一天，
如果你安息日前一天，
你执晒你屋企所有自己嘅嘢，牙刷咯、牙膏咯、一只袜咯、一本乜嘢系你自己嘅。
你先把你自己随身的行李收拾好。
你行出门口100码，摆样嘢喺个树。
你把你所需要的东西摆到你门外的100码的地方。
再走100码，摆第二样嘢喺个树。
然后你再走100码，摆第二样东西。
咁啊，100码一样摆，一直走到你2米路你要去嘅地方。
然后你就把你的随身物品每100码放一样，直到你要去的目的地。
第二安息日了，那就行了，100码这样行了。
然后到第二天的时候，你就可以每100码的这样子走。
那些不是工作了。
因为那些不是工作，
因为你每一次去都是去回自己家嘛，因为那样东西是代表你自己的家。
然后因为你那些随身物品就代表你的家，所以你并没有离开你的家，你只是还是在你家的范围内活动。
就是说你整个安息都在家里面，你没有工作，你没有违背了安息日的律法。
所以说你在安息日里面都是在待在家里，并没有违反安息日的一个律法。
不是讲故事啊，是这样的。
这些并不是牧师在讲故事，事实上就是这样。
耶稣骂的法利赛人就是这样骂。
所以耶稣就是这样子去指责那些法利赛人。
因为有一次耶稣骂的法利赛人。
因为有一次耶稣指责那些法利赛人。
说你的法利赛人啊，
你们这些法利赛人，
你们说你们孝敬父母。
你说你们孝敬父母。
譬如那孝敬父母是第五个法律来的，第五个戒命来的，很重要，人与人之间第一个戒命就是第五个，要孝敬父母。
摩西律法里面的第五个诫命就是要人要去孝敬父母。
但是法利赛人说，譬如好像我每一个月呢，我预算给100元父母饮茶的吃饭的。
那些法利赛人比如说他一个月要给100块钱给父母去喝茶。
那么还去拗颈了，讲到就拗这些了。
然后他们的讲道就开始去争论这个问题。
那些拉比就说，如果你将那100元预算给父母的，你将来奉献给圣殿，那你不再需要给100元父母。
那些拉比就教导说，如果你把原来预算的那100块钱给父母的奉献给教会，你就不需要再给100块钱给你父母。
因为你将100元奉献给在圣殿那边，已经满足了律法的要求。
因为你把那100块钱奉献在 圣殿里面你已经满足了那个律法的要求。
父母没100元了，肚饿了怎么办呢？不要紧。
如果父母没有钱，饿了怎么办？
耶稣骂他们。
耶稣就骂他们。
所以听到的时候，那人就是听惯你们教导这些拗颈。
所以当时的人听的教导都是这些鸡毛蒜皮的东西在那里争论。
好聪明，好聪明的桥。
都是一些非常诡诈的一些教导。
在哪里需要属灵的真实的，
并没有一些属灵的一个真实的教导。
全部都是空的，全部都是没意思的。
全部都是空洞的，没有意思的。
没真真正正属灵的实质的。
没有真正的属灵的实质的教导。
人属灵的需要一点都不能够喂饱的。
人属灵上面的需求一点都没有办法满足。
就是拗可以怎样可以走这些法律啦。
只是去争论如何能够逃避这个律法的一些钻一些空隙。
耶稣一出来，
而耶稣一出来
讲一句说话，
他就讲了一句话，
教导人什么叫真正人生的祝福。
他教导人什么是人生真正的祝福。
耶稣说虚心的人有福了。
他教导虚心的人有福了。
耶稣说哀恸的人有福了，为自己的罪悲哀的人有福了。
那些为自己的罪悲哀的人有福了。
在神面前没有高傲的，知道自己需要认罪悔改的，得到赦免的，那些人有福了。
在神面前虚心悔改，知道自己有罪的人有福了。
耶稣说清心的人有福了。
耶稣也说清心的人有福了。
使人和睦的，做一个和平者的人有福了。
使人做一个和平者的人有福了。
饥渴慕义的人有福了。
那些饥渴慕义的人有福了。
耶稣出来一开口讲教导。
耶稣一出来他开口的教导就这样。
你以前听到人家这样教你，
你以前所听到的那些教导，
现在我教你这些。
现在耶稣却有一个非常新颖的一个教导。
以前你听到人话以牙还牙，以眼还眼。
你以前听人家说要以牙还牙，以眼还眼。
但我现在说我们要爱，你们要爱仇敌。
但是现在耶稣却教导我们要爱，甚至爱我们的仇敌。
以前你说你不喜欢个老婆很简单啦，你咪叫佢走咯。
以前教导说，如果你不喜欢你太太，你可以随时叫她走。
但最紧要你俾张证书佢。
但是最重要，你要给他一张休书。
即系话嗰张纸啊，正比个婚姻更加宝贵，更加重要。
就是说那张纸比一段婚姻更加重要。
但系耶稣话我而家教你乜嘢？
但是耶稣却教导他们。
婚姻唔系儿戏啊。
婚姻不是儿戏。
唔系话我哋要就要，唔要就掉啊。
不是说我们想要的时候就要，不想要的时候就扔掉。
难怪听人一听到真系惊愕。
难怪当时人听见了这些教导都非常的惊愕。
马可没记载耶稣教的道理是什么道理。
马可没有记载耶稣所教导的是一些什么道理。
但我们可以说是和马太福音、路加福音、约翰福音的都是一样。
但是我们可以知道那些教导都是跟其他三本福音书一样的。
就好像新的风吹入去这会堂里面。
就像一阵新的风 吹进会堂里面。
吹散发了没那么久的旧空气。
把那些发霉的一个味道吹散，
好像春雨淋到干涸的人心灵里边，
就像春雨淋到干涸的人的心里，
好像黑暗当中有一个光柱咁，真系照耀到呢个光黑暗里边，
像是黑暗当中有一丝光线照亮进来，
将荣耀嘅真理俾人哋见到，
把荣耀的真理给人看到，
只有神先能够将有咁嘅真理带俾人。
只有神才能够把这样子的真理带给人。
所以耶稣基督以权能的权柄来教导。
所以耶稣基督用一个新的权能权柄去教导人。
所以我这样大家挑战。
所以牧师敢向大家做一个挑战，
余下一生每一年都读一次四福音书。
在我们余下的人生，每一年我们都把福音书读一遍。
你一定会不断的惊奇这些奇这些妙这些真神。
你一定会有不断有新的惊喜在这些奇妙真实里面发生。
二十四小时一开始耶稣去做教导，二十四小时之后耶稣都是教导。
在二十四小时的起初耶稣是在教导，在二十四小时之后耶稣依然还在又开始教导。
第三十八节，你一起来读第三十八节。
我们再一起读三十八节，
请大家一起。
请。
耶稣对他们说，我们到邻近的乡镇去吧，我也好在那里传道教导传道神的真理。
耶稣就是要到邻近的 乡镇去教导神的真理。
人生的工作，人生的追求，没一样能够比得起神传神的真道啊，更加宝贝，更加有价值。
人生没有一样东西能比得过神的真道真理更加宝贵。
耶稣在做什么？
耶稣还在做什么？
23到25节。
23到25节。
耶稣面对鬼灵，赶走鬼灵。
耶稣面对鬼灵，赶走鬼灵。
我睇下23、24、25，一齐嚟读啊！
我们一起读23到25节。
请大家一齐。就在那时，会堂里有一个被污灵附着的人，喊叫起来说：拿撒勒人耶稣，我们跟你有什么关系呢？你来毁灭我们吗？我知道你是谁，你是神的圣者。耶稣斥责他说：住口，从他身上出来。我敢讲，你当中每一个人都惊鬼。
牧师敢讲，在我们当中每个人都害怕鬼灵。
每个人都怕鬼灵的。
每个人都感觉到害怕。
因为我们知道很多鬼啊是邪的。
因为我们知道很多鬼灵都是邪恶的。
做黑暗做邪恶的工作。
都是做一些黑暗邪恶的工作。
他们的力量是胜过我们，我们不能够胜得过他。
他们的力量是比我们强。
虽然我们很大胆。
虽然我们有时候也很大胆。
我们都很相信。
我们也非常的相信。
圣经说在我们里面的灵是胜过在外面的灵，就是说在我们里面的圣灵是远胜过在外面的鬼灵。
我们也非常相信在我们心里面的圣灵能够远远的胜过那些邪灵。
我相信我们当中最大胆的。
相信我们当中最大胆的。
你都会怕。
你也会有时候感到害怕。
我们当中有没有哪个人敢在殡仪馆住过？
我们当中有没有人敢在殡仪馆里面住一晚呢？
我来不来就讲故事。
牧师有时候也会讲一些故事，
大家都听过了，不过我好多没听过，讲多一次。
有很多人可能已经听过，但是牧师还是要再讲一次。
好多好多年前啊，我还在神学院的时候。
很多年前，牧师还在读神学院的时候。
在 Skokie 一个殡仪馆住同埋做工嘅。
牧师那时候在 Skokie 的一个殡仪馆里面工作和住宿。
好多时候我要抬嘢去土库底嘅，喺土库底做嘢嘅。
他很经常要把一些东西抬到那个 basement 里面。
大家都知道殡仪馆头腹底是什么了，做什么了，right?
大家都知道那个殡仪馆的地下室是做什么的。
我什么惊？
牧师觉得我不用害怕。
你大家都知道我很多圣诗我很喜欢的。
大家都知道牧师很喜欢很多圣诗。
一阵间回应的诗歌是我最喜欢的，还有另外一首诗歌我很喜欢的。
牧师有一首非常喜欢的诗歌。
倚靠主耶稣永远膀臂。
倚靠主耶稣永远绑
我不用，我不用畏惧，为我不用惊慌。
我不用畏惧，我不用惊慌。
倚靠主耶稣永远绑臂。
倚靠主耶稣永远的绑臂。
我们有平安。
我们有平安。
住在我身旁。
主在我身旁。
倚靠主耶稣永远绑臂，所以来土库底有乜所谓？
所以不需要害怕到那些地下室。
但好多时候土库底有好多雪柜噶。
但是呵呵地下室里面有很多的冰柜。
大家知道雪柜有个 compressor 的嘛？ compressor 中文我不知道什么，不懂 compressor 中文是什么，变压力 I don't know, 压气 whatever、雪柜的 compressor 呢很多时候突然间着
因为好像在那些冰柜有一些像发动机一样的东西，它会时常的会响。
你不知道它几时着的嘛？
你在那里的时候，你不知道那些变压器什么时候会发出响声。
我在下面土库底做嘢嗰时候，一 kick in 嗰时候咧，哦。
当你在地下室工作，如果那些变压器突然的启动的时候，
唔记得嗰首诗歌《倚靠主耶稣永远》，
你就会把那首诗歌完全的忘记了。
大家体会得到嘛？黑暗邪恶嘅灵啊，系唔系我哋做仪器噶嘛？
所以大家能体会得到那些黑暗邪恶的力量不是我们儿戏所说的。
但你看这个拿撒勒人耶稣是一个人，当时一个人。
但是我们看这个拿撒勒人耶稣当时是做一个人。
他有什么害怕呢？
他
佢系主宰，
他是主宰，
唔单止系眼所见到嘅地方领域嘅主宰。
他不单单是眼，我们人眼所看到的地方的一个主宰。
眼见唔到嘅领域，鬼灵嘅领域，佢系主宰。
同样，在我们不能眼见鬼灵的领域，他同样也是主宰。
鬼灵认得出佢嘅身份，
鬼灵能够认出他的身份。
所以呢个鬼话：我知道你系边个，你系神嘅圣者。
所以这个恶鬼知道你是谁你是神的圣者。
但耶稣斥责佢。
但是耶稣斥责他说。
命令佢住口唔好出。
命令让这个鬼灵住口。
更命令佢走出嚟。
也命令他从人的身上走出来。
因为我哋主耶稣要赢取得着人嘅灵魂，唔需要撒旦嘅帮助。
因为主耶稣赢得人的一个灵魂，不需要撒旦的帮助。
这个鬼灵不肯走啊，
这个鬼灵不肯走，
所以最后挣扎啊，使到这个人抽筋啊，
所以最后的挣扎使到那个人抽筋，
好大声的抗议喊叫先至走出来，
大声的喊抗议喊叫才走出来。
因为他要面对耶稣的权柄权能，
因为他所面对的是耶稣的权柄权能，
他一定要认他失败，
他要承认他的失败，
一定要离开，
他一定要离开。
因为鬼灵见到耶稣基督的能力的权柄是远胜过撒旦的权柄，
因为鬼灵知道耶稣基督的能力权柄远胜过撒旦的能力。
这个真理是永恒的，
这个真理是永恒的。
撒旦唯一恐惧的名是耶稣基督的名
因为撒旦恐惧的名字是唯一的名字，就是耶稣基督。
我们好好的记得，
我们要很好的记住，
我们照样可以用同一个耶稣基督的名的权柄能力，
我们同样可以使用耶稣基督名字的权柄和能力，
斥责撒旦对我们的攻击
去斥责撒旦对我们的攻击，
倚着基督永远的膀臂，永远的圣名
倚靠耶稣基督永远的膀臂，
向撒旦说我胜过你，
向撒旦说我胜过你，
你向我的引诱，
你给我的试探，
你向我的势力今时今刻可以被粉碎离开
你对我的攻击在这个时刻可以离开粉碎，
你是照样的，人见到基督的权能你是惊愕的反应。27-28节
同样人看到耶稣基督的能力也感到惊愕，在27-28节
我一起来到27节和28节，请大家一起。众人都很惊讶，于是彼此对民说，这是怎么一回事，是个有权能的新道理啊，他吩咐乌灵，乌灵竟服从了他，耶稣的名声立刻传遍了加利利一带。某可说立刻
这里说立刻，
立刻不是几天，是几个钟头的，
立刻不是指的几天，而是几个小时。
因为我们看第32到第33节的，
因为我们看32到33节，
那天都未完，你们看
那一天还没结束，
请大家一起32节，
请大家一起读。
到了黄昏，有人不断把生病的和被鬼附的都带到耶稣面前，全城的人都聚集在门口好像野火一样立刻散到去四周围
耶稣的名声就像野火一样立即散播到周围。
不单止耶稣教导，不单止耶稣赶鬼，他还有做什么呢？
不单单耶稣的教导，不单指他的赶鬼，
没人能够比得上的怜悯去医病，
还有一个无人能比的一个怜悯去医治人的疾病，
医好彼得的外母。
首先他医好了西门彼得的岳母。
耶稣在会堂里面讲完道，医赶走鬼之后
耶稣基督在会堂讲完道，赶完鬼以后，
行一段路去到彼得的家里面医好他的外母，
就来到彼得的家中医治好他的岳母。
那个时候已经成4-5点钟的了，下午
那个时候可能已经是下午的4-5点。
任何一个人4-5点钟的时候做那天这么耗灵力这么耗体力的一天
给任何一个人做了一整天这么消耗灵力的一个事情以后，
个个人都说抌卡落班了嘛，
很多人都会说到时间下班了，
翻屋企睇波啦嘛，礼拜一啦嘛。
星期一应该回家去看球了。
但系神嘅仆人唔能够嘅。
但是神的仆人不能够。
嗰一晚日落黄昏之后，成条村所有嗰啲人都嚟住。
那一晚日落以后，整 整个城镇的人都来到他家门前。
今日嘅加伯隆系一个好细嘅地方，几间屋嘅啫。
啊，现在的加伯隆是非常小的一个地方，只有几家人。
当时加伯隆系在加利利海沿海面最大一个城镇。
而当时加伯隆是在加利利海地区最大的一个城镇，
是一个中心点，所以耶稣用那个做大本营，肯定加利利的传道都在那里做中心。
所以耶稣使用那个地方作为加利利传道的一个中心点。
可以想象到有几多病人，有几多被鬼附的人来找耶稣。
所以可以想象当时有多少生病和被鬼附的人来到耶稣家门前。
神的仆人没有休息。
神的仆人没有休息。
他特别马可特别记载得到耶稣禁止那些鬼讲说话。
马可特别记载到耶稣禁止那些鬼灵去讲话。
为什么耶稣医病了之后赶鬼之后叫我们不要出声呢？
为什么耶稣在治病和赶鬼以后让那些人不要说话呢？
我们叫他做尼赛亚的秘密 Messianic Secret， 我们有一个特别的名词来形容这个 Messianic Secret， 尼赛亚的秘密。
我们用特别的一个名词叫弥赛亚的一个秘密。
因为耶稣医病赶鬼是出自他怜悯的心。
因为耶稣基督医治病赶鬼是出自他怜悯的一个心。
他不需要好戏剧化的在人面前彰显那些奇迹，那些做戏这样做。
因为他不需要像做秀一样在人的面前去显露这些神迹。
他不需要人家受惊动，
他不需要其他人感到感动惊奇。
他特别是加一个低调，特别是将他的权能落低调。
他希望能够把他的权能保持一个低调。
不要讲俾人听，不要同我去做传播，不要同我做卖广告。
他不希望人或者鬼灵去帮他做一个传播或者一个宣传。
因为耶稣不需要这种戏剧化的戏来赢取人的心。
因为主耶稣不需要用这样子戏剧化的一些神迹来去让赢得人的心。
耶稣不愿人跟他是因为看戏来跟他。
耶稣不愿意人跟从他是因为这些神迹。
耶稣不愿人跟他因为有鱼食有饼食。
耶稣也不愿意人跟从他是因为能够得到饱足。
因为耶稣不愿意人见到他是一个救国的革命者。
因为耶稣不愿意成为一个救国的革命者。
因为人捧他做革命的领导，推翻罗马政府。
因为当时的人很希望弥赛亚是一个能够推翻罗马政府的英雄。
只会将他真正的身份来到分开了主义。
如果这样子的话，就会把耶稣真正的身份给分别开来了。
只会将他真正的任命分开了拉扯了，
就会把他真正的任命所要被误导了。
但耶稣越叫人哋命令人哋唔好出声，人就越大出声。
但是越是耶稣吩咐人不要宣扬，那些人就越要到处传讲。
四十五节讲到个声明传咗几远啊？
四十五节那里说耶稣的声明能够传到多远呢？
人多到耶稣不能够再进入到去公开的进入城里面了。
以至于耶稣不能够再公开的进城了。
只能够在外面的荒野的地方。
只能留在那些旷野的地方。
但仍然有好多人要跟。
但是依然还有很多人需要跟随他。
我相信大家一生人呢，你不会见到一个传道人不喜欢人多跟他的。
相信大家现在很少会看见有一个传道人不喜欢其他人去跟从他的。
传道人见到人少他就怕。
如果传道人现在的传道人看见人少的话，他会感到害怕。
耶稣是唯一传道人见到人多而怕。
耶稣是唯一一个看到人多而不喜悦的。
因为耶稣不愿意人跟他。
因为耶稣不喜欢人跟随他。
不知道跟耶稣的代价。
而不知道要付上什么样的代价，
而又不愿意付出代价来跟他，
也不愿意去付上那样子的代价去跟从他。
我们怎样去考验一个医病的人是真正医病的人，或是假医病的人？
我们要怎样去分别一些是不是真正有能力去医治疾病的人呢？
现在有好多好多电视台说做医病的传道。
现在很多电视台在播一些有医治能力的一些传道人的一些节目。
来不来我们又收到有广告的了，在 是邮稿里面寄来广告的。
我们偶尔教会也会收到这样子的一些广告。
他说哪个来芝加哥现在开报道会医病啊？
那些广告经常说谁谁谁会来到芝加哥这里开一些治病的传道会。
那些广告不是出自怜悯啊，
那些广告不是出自于怜悯，
而是出自人有几多有几多钱赚，
而是出自于到时候传道会那里有多少人到场。
人越多那个收奉献的袋就越重了，
因为人越多那个收奉献的口袋就会越重。
他们说广告里面话讲得越好听啊，人就越多来了。
因为那些广告吹捧吹嘘的越好就越多人来。
耶稣是完全不同的，
因为耶稣就完全不一样。
耶稣是唯一医病的人，医病了之后叫那个人不要出声。
耶稣是唯一一个医治人以后让那个人不要去宣讲的。
因为耶稣不需要人多啊，来给他觉得自己很自豪。
因为耶稣不需要人多来让他自己感到自豪。
因为耶稣不需要人越多啊，他的袋子钱就越重啊。
因为耶稣不需要人越多，他的能赚的钱就越多。
耶稣医病是出自他的怜悯，他赶鬼是出自他的怜悯。
耶稣治病赶鬼是出自于他对人的怜悯，
特别是第四十到第四十五节，
特别四十到四十五节
仍然记载到耶稣怎样医好一个麻风病的人，
在那里记载到耶稣如何医治一个患麻风的人。
今日我们有麻风病不是最恐怖，今日我们有 HIV， HIV 是最恐怖。
今天我们患麻风病并不可怕，相反如果我们患上艾滋病的话就非常可怕。
当时麻风病比我们今时今日艾滋病更加恐怖，
但是在当年患有麻风病比现在患有艾滋病更加可怕
的传染性，
因为它极富传染性。
还有怎样拆毁一个人生的就是最强烈的这个病，
而且这个病能够把一个人的生命完全的拆毁。
他的整个人啊，那些皮肉啊腐烂的，就在眼前里面被腐蚀的。
整个人的皮肤，身上的皮肤都会被这个疾病所腐蚀。
这样的人来到耶稣面前，
这样子的人来到耶稣面前。
你看第四十一节，他说，
刚才四十一节，
耶稣动了怜悯的心，就伸手摸他。
这里说耶稣动了怜悯的心，就伸手摸他。
你我今天敢不敢摸一个艾滋病的人？
你我今天敢不敢去触摸一个有艾滋病的人呢？
我们今天有胶手套我们都不敢啊。
如果今天你有胶手套的话，你可能都不愿意去接触他们，
何况当时呢？
何况是当时呢？
当时有个麻风的人远远他要出声的话 unclean unclean， 因为不洁不洁，所以人可以老老走走走开，不肯走近。
在当年如果你患有麻风病的话，你离远就要对着人群说我是不洁净的，然后人群就要远离你。
何况会摸他，
何况你要去触摸这样子的人。
耶稣有权柄讲一句说话他都可以受医治的了。
耶稣有这样子的权柄，只要说一句话他就能够得到医治。
耶稣不需要去摸他，
耶稣不需要去触摸他，
但耶稣摸他，
但是耶稣去触摸了他，
是为了要表达他的这个说话这个心声，
是为了表达他的话他的心声，
是对他说你现在这么凄凉，你现在这么令人反胃，对我来说不是令我反胃。
他是为了说明就算你是多么的让其他人感到厌恶，我此刻也不会厌恶你。
我摸你是因为你对我来说不是一个我不摸得的人，
我触摸你是因为你对于我来说是一个不是一个不能触摸的人。
用最有个人性的 personal way， 最有能力性的去表达这句说话。
让他让自己一个非常有个人特色的一个方法去表达他的自己。
人生没丑陋到丑陋到这个地步，神的爱神的怜悯不能够摸到的。
人生并没有一样可以丑陋的事情可以令到神不能去用他们的爱来触摸他。
你看整日整夜耶稣不停的教导，不同的赶鬼，不同的医病。
在这二十四小时内，耶稣不断的去讲道来教导。
你想不想象到我们想不想象到他几咁耗尽啊？耗尽他的心力、灵力，耗尽他的体力。
我们能不能想象当时耶稣是如何的耗尽他自己的？体力和能力呢？
如果你做工有一日做这个工的话，你第二朝会怎样起身？
如果你有一天二十四小时内做这样子的事情，第二天你会几点才起床呢？
我相信我哋耐不耐都会赶工啊，赶 project 啊，都会咁样啊，系咪？
相信在座有些人可能也会有这样子的时候在，熬夜去赶他们的project。
第二点钟起身。
第二天你会几点起床呢？
同埋起咗身之后，我下昼一点两点起咗身去做乜嘢？
然后就算你起床了以后下午一两点你会做什么事情呢？
你说 downtime 就是什么都熄什么都 turn off。
downtime 就是你到时候会什么都不做。
我们看第三十五节，
我们看三十五节，
耶稣有一个人家不能够比得上的纪律，与天父相连相会。
耶稣却有一个无人能比的一个纪律，要与天父相会。
第三十五节，大家一起。次日凌晨，天还没有亮，耶稣起身出去，来到荒野的地方，在那里祷告，满有纪律的祷告。
耶稣进行一个满有纪律的祷告，
经过一个这么耗尽心力、灵力、体力的一日。
经过如此消耗精力心力和灵力的一天，
我相信做到凌晨一两点钟最后那个病人才至见完。
相信当时耶稣是做到凌晨一两点才能够把所有的病人看完，
终归有一两个钟头的睡觉，
终究他能有一两小时睡觉。
第三十五节说天还未亮，即是五点钟五点半的时候。
但是三十五节说天还没有亮，就是可能早上五点的时候。
还黑的时候，耶稣起身走出去荒野，自己单独一个人地方去祈祷。
天还没亮的时候，耶稣就自己一个人单身来到旷野的地方祷告。
沙漠冇太阳的时候是好冻好冻的。
在沙漠里面，如果没有太阳的话，是非常寒冷的。
耶稣当时是极其的耗尽体力的。
耶稣当时是极其的耗尽体力。
你我将被单下边暖好多了。
你我睡在被窝里面就暖和很多。
但耶稣知道与天父相连相会是远胜过、远超需要过，还要睡多几个钟头。
但耶稣知道与天父的相会相连，远比要多睡几个小时来的重要。
耶稣的智慧、耶稣的能力、耶稣的慈怜是哪处来的？
耶稣的智慧、能力、慈怜是从哪儿来的？
是从天父的相连相会那里来的，
就是与 天父的相会相连那里来的。
他心灵灵力最耗尽，就是最需要与天父相连的时候。
他的灵力最耗尽的时候，就是最需要与神相连相会的时候。
耶稣怎么能够有这么大胆的、这么有胆量能力去讲道？
为什么耶稣能这么有能力的去胆量和能力去讲道呢？
好像用不尽的慈怜、爱心、忍耐，
就像是用不尽的慈怜和爱心。
他秘密就是这一处，
他的秘密就是在这里，
不断不停的与他的父天父相连，
不停不断的与天父去相连相会。
基督耶稣人生里面有一日二十四小时，我们看到什么呢？
在耶稣基督的一天二十四小时之内，我们看到什么呢？
是不是耶稣好像跟我们这样的整天都是迟到？
耶稣是不是像我们一样整天都迟到，
成日都要赶头赶命，由呢处赶到嗰处？哎呀，要接个仔啊！但佢等咗我十五分钟，好耐啦，好嬲啦！我哋赶啊赶啊赶啊！
我们经常都是每天匆匆忙忙的去做每一件事情。
但耶稣不断嘅从一处地方走去另一处，唔系因为佢迟到要赶佢。
但是耶稣他经常从这一个地方到另外一个地方，并不是因为他赶时间快迟到了所以要去。
而是他有很深很深的任命感，他知道他人生的任命是什么。
而是他非常清楚他自己人生有非常重要的任命。
我们再读第三十八节。
我们再读一下三十八节。
大家一起，耶稣对他们说，我们到邻近的乡镇去吧，我也好在那里传道，因为我就是为这事而来的。因为我是为这个工作而来的。
因为我就是为了这个任命这样子的事情而来的。
为什么工作？
为什么工作呢？
不是要受人服侍，
并不是要受人服侍，
乃是要服侍人，
而是要去服侍人，
并且将生命献上，
并且要把自己的生命献上，
做多人的赎价，
做多人的赎价。
耶稣知道他为什么为每一日而活。
耶稣很清楚他为什么每一天为什么而活着。
好多时候我哋话哦，我哋要学像耶稣，我哋人生要学像耶稣。
很多时候我们说我们的生命要像耶稣。
我哋个学像唔单要学像佢嘅神性，佢嘅品格。
我们不单只要学习他的神性和本性，
更要学像耶稣呢个任命感，
更加要学习耶稣的这个使命感，
同埋佢所做嘅
和我们和他所做的。
大家有冇问啊？有冇问问自己啊？我今日为乜嘢而活？
大家有没有问问自己你今天为着什么而活着？
点解神将今日嘅时间生命俾过我呢？
神为什么把今天的时间和生命赐给我呢？
佢摆我喺呢一处呢个角落呢个时刻，系要我完成乜嘢任命工作？
他把我摆在人世间，此时此刻为的是什么？
我哋能唔能够每一日过完嘅时候到上床嘅时候？
我们能不能够在每一天完成的时候，你在睡觉之前，
我哋对神话，我多谢你今日赏赐我人生呢一日嘅礼物。
你可以对神说，我感谢你赐给我今天人生的这份礼物。
我冇嘥咗，
我没并没有浪费。
我冇嘥咗你俾我呢今日嘅礼物。
你并没有，我并没有浪费你赐给我今天的礼物。
我亦都冇拎佢翻去他嘅退翻去。
我也没有去把这份礼物退还给你。
我哋能唔能够每一日过活用呢一个目标嚟过？
我们能不能每一天过我们的生活都是以这个为目标呢？
神把我哋喺树要我侍奉乜嘢？
神把我们摆在这里是为了侍奉什么？
系要我做嘅，我日日之后啊，我能够话我冇浪费晒咗。
有什么是要我们去做？我们每一天与神交账的时候，说我们没有浪费。
无论我哋今日当中你有几老有几嫩。
无论我们当中每一位年纪有多大，
无论我们当中今天的前面还有几长时间还有几短时间，
无论我们前面的路还有多长，
我们能不能够每24小时都是过到这么有果效的，这么有有 product fruitful， 这么有果效的一个生活？
我们是否能够每一天都过这么有果效成效的一个生活呢？
如果你真正是认真的话，我要效仿主的生命的时候，
如果我们非常认真去效仿主的生命的时候，
他所做的也是我们的模范。
他所做的也就是我们的模范。
我们能不能够照样以主的性命，
我们是不是照样能以主的性命，
以主的能力，
以主的能力
胜过撒旦，
胜过撒旦，
斥责撒旦，
斥责撒旦，
对他说我是胜过你的，
对撒旦说我是胜过你的。
我们有几多慈怜可以给得出的？
我们有多少的慈怜可以给献奉献出来？
我们能够不断的侍奉能够几耐嘅啫？
我们不断的侍奉能够维持多久？
能唔能够到我哋耗尽我哋嘅心力、耗尽我哋灵力、耗尽我哋嘅体力之后？
我们能不能够把我们自己的能力和灵力耗尽？
能够不断嘅与圣父、圣子、圣灵相连相会，
而又回去与神相连相会，
继续充满我哋人生所需要嘅灵力，
继续充满我们人生所需要的灵力，
继续去做新一日神俾我哋嘅交托俾我哋嘅任务。
然后去做新一天神交托给我们的任务。
All in a day's work， 一日之劳，
一日之劳，
第二日、第三日继续唔停嘅。
第二天、第三天依然循环不止。
但系我哋能够真系见到主耶稣基督嘅生命，佢嘅所做所讲嘅。
但愿我们看到主耶稣的生命，他所做所想，所
不单止惊奇惊愕啊，
不单止感到惊奇惊愕，
更照样的，
更能够照样，
让人哋能够对你话，
要让别人能够对我们说，
我在你的人生里边啊，见到你的主耶稣，
我能在你的人生里面看到你的主耶稣基督。
我俾大家呢个挑战，
牧师给大家这个挑战。